Well, good evening, everybody. I'm glad you're on this call tonight talking about overcoming writer's block. I'm Tracy of Pink Pigeon Media, and I work with coaches just like you to use social media to help build your online presence. And you know this, using social media is a really great way to make sure that you have a robust presence by using Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, Twitter, blogging, or any other social site that fits your genre. It's just, it gives you more pages that you have out there that makes it easier to find you when searchers go online, just more places to find you. So that's what I do, is manage pages and consult with people just like you to build their pages and their online presence. So let's jump right in. If you have a computer in front of you, that's great. We might want to use it. If you don't, and you can get one real quick, that's great, but don't sweat it. If you don't have it, it's not essential. It'd be great, not essential. So that said, I'm assuming you're on this call tonight because you've experienced or are experiencing some kind of writer's block with your blog, or maybe you just simply feel like you've run out of topics, so you're thinking this class might help you, and I think it will. And from the questions that were sent to me in advance of this class, I can see that the main thing that seems to be on most minds are basically two things. How much should I write, like as in how long should my article be, or maybe word count on my blog articles? Or number two, how do I generate new ideas on an ongoing basis? And so I'm going to start with one of the questions that was sent to me in advance, posed by Bev, who asked, what is the recommended word count for a personal story in a blog? And this question was also echoed by another writer who asked, what is the ideal number of words for one story? And I'm telling you, in what I do, like I said, I manage social pages and do consulting for coaches just like you on this very topic. And this is probably the question I get most often when we talk about blogging, is how long should it be? And I think that a lot of people, one thing that stands in the way of them jumping in and just really writing and cranking out the work is that they just don't know how long is too long or how short is too short. So I'm going to give you a word count number, a specific number, and then I'm going to turn around and take it right back. So are you ready? Are you sitting down? It's 350 words. Okay, I said it, but now I'm going to take that back and climb up on a soapbox real quick, because I want to explain the most important thing about this whole topic of how long is not the length. That's not the most important point of this whole thing. The length of your article isn't nearly as relevant as the quality of the article. And make sure you note that the length of your article isn't as relevant as the quality of the article. The point of blogging is to give away rock-solid information in a way that readers will enjoy reading enough to share it with somebody, to subscribe to your blog, and to trust you as an expert in your field. It's just like in real estate where you hear location, location, location. Well, in blogging, it's quality, quality, quality. This is for obvious reasons that readers will only come back to your blog or share an article when you offer something that's truly useful. And the not so obvious part of this is that Google has really cracked down on junky, crummy sites that keyword stuff and only offer keywords and really basically no substance. Those websites are the ones that you find on page 874 of a Google search. Never get found, never get read, nobody ever sees it. It's because they've just used keywords and they've not written anything of any use at all. So if you write an out-of-the-ballpark article that's, I don't know, 250 words, but, oh, man, it's good, then so be it. If that same article takes you 650 words, but it keeps people reading and people share it and they're on the edge of their seat and they can't wait to hear what you have to say next, so be it. If it's top-notch quality, if it gives your readers something of value, if it gains their trust, then you're in the game, regardless of the word count. So sure, shoot for 350. I think that's a great article. It's a page. It's like 3-4 paragraphs tops. But don't bind yourself to that. Don't let that be shackled around your wrist as you're writing. The important thing is to write in a compelling way that keeps your readers reading. Now, in saying that, and I want you to feel, since we've got this, our open mic here, I want you to feel free to jump in. If somebody's got a question, just say, hold up, and I've got a question, and I'll stop. You want to keep your readers reading, so you've got to write in a way that's compelling. And there's a technique that I love to use myself, and I've seen it used many times that always hooks my attention. Now, this technique I'm going to tell you about, you may already know this, and you also need to note that this won't work every time with every story you ever do, but it'll work an awful lot of the time. This technique is used in marketing, and the reason they use it is because it works so very well. It's a technique called writing in parallel paths, and it works for the two types of readers that are likely going to visit your blog: the skimmers, who are there for 4 seconds. They want to get what they can get really, really quick, and then they're out of there. And it works for the detailed readers who are going to read every single word on your page. And both readers exist. And if you can write one story that appeals to both those kinds of readers, you're really onto something. And writing in a parallel path really does appeal to both kinds of readers. And it works like this. You write your story using bold headlines throughout by selecting key sentences to highlight that tell your story. And then under each of those bolded headlines, you write the details of what you just said. So you're writing just one story. I'm not talking about two different stories for two different readers. It's one story. But the story can be read two ways. The skimmer, who's going to read your bolded headlines and skip the stuff in the middle. But you want that skimmer to still get the gist of your story, even if all he does is read your headline from top to bottom. And the other detailed reader stops and reads the stuff underneath your headlines and gets even more deep. Hopefully, your skimmers will read one of your headlines and be intrigued enough about it to read more detail and stay longer on your page. And keep that in mind. It's a good Google thing, a good search engine thing when people stay on your page for a long time. And so this is another way to do that. You'll never hook a skimmer who doesn't want to stay a long time unless your headlines are intriguing. So when I say to pick a headline, that you're just going to pick a sentence that can tell a story as they work their way down. So you may have 4 or 5 headlines, bolded sentences. When I say headlines, I kind of mean bolded sentences that stand out. You may have 4 or 5 or 6 of those, but you want to be sure that those bold headlined sentences also tell your story, even if they don't dig further. Now, this can be kind of hard to visualize. Now, if you have your computer handy, that's great. I'm going to give you an address to put in your URL bar in a second. If you don't fret it. Just jot this URL down, because I'm about to give you an example of this to look at really quick that illustrates very wonderfully what I'm talking about when writing two parallel paths. So here's the URL. I'm going to say it first, and then I'm going to spell it out for you. It's c2cresources.info. Okay, that's C as in cat, the number 2, C as in cat, resources, R-E-S-O-U-R-C-E-S .info, not .com, .info, c2cresources.info. So of the folks on this call, if you have your computer in front of you and can pull that up, just tell me real quick that you've done that. Because if nobody's done it, then I'm going to say a few things and move on. But if you've got it in front of you, does anybody?
I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. All right, now, this is an excellent example. And I'm sorry it's a collection company. Everybody yawned. Boring. But they have taken this page and done exactly what I'm talking about in a very, very good way. Notice at the very top, you have, how would you answer this one important question? Okay, I'm already intrigued. It's only one question. I've got a second. I'm going to give you that. In red, I've got a bolded sentence. I'm not necessarily saying that you should use red on your blog page. That's up to you, but I am saying it should be bolded. For a business person, this question is really key. How much money were you forced to write off in bad debt last year? Now, if you're a skimmer, you're going to go to the next bolded headline, and it says, are you hindered by any of these six simple common commercial debt collection problems? Well, that's kind of intriguing because I want to know if they're talking to me, and underneath it, they've given me some problems that might pertain to me, and they've given me consequences to my problems, too, by using ellipses. You'll see, I fear making a collection call, dot, 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 so I procrastinate, making the debt harder to collect. Business-to-business people who are trying to collect can relate very much to this, but if the skimmer doesn't want to keep going with that, they go to the next headline. What do you do when you've done all you can? And then there's the next one. Our collection techniques are proven effective for getting you paid. Underneath that is a short paragraph for the detailed reader or for the skimmer that you snagged to read further. And you'll notice on down the copy they've done other interesting visual things like positives and negatives that a person could skim if they want, but the skimmer is probably going to go down to the next headline. And then there's bullet points. These are all the eye-catching things people like. And all through this copy that I would encourage you to read later, we don't really need to go through it now, but all through this copy, the writer keeps mentioning, hey, I'm going to give you something in a minute. But first I want to tell you this. Here's this thing I want to give you, but first I want to share this with you so that when you get to the bottom, then you have this button you can click to get your freebie that they promised you throughout this copy. Now, this is also another technique that you can use if, for instance, you've written an ebook or you want them to come back for something later or you want to give them a download or redirect them to another page. You promise them that and then give them a reason to hang on one more second while you tell them something else. Now, this even works in storytelling. Whether you're selling something or not, sometimes you will be and sometimes you're just storytelling. If you still can see what I'm talking about by using these headlines, you're speaking to skimmers. By giving the details, you're talking to the detail reader who loves more of the juicy tidbits. I would encourage you to read this copy. I mean, like I said, it's a boring old collection company, but they've masterfully used these techniques to illustrate exactly what I'm talking about that you can do on your blog that keeps people moving from the top left of your blog content to the bottom right to be finished reading. And you can keep hooking them along with these headlines and give them the meat to keep people reading and coming back. It's a great way that actually works very, very well. So there's an example, bookmark that to read a little more in depth later because there's other techniques used in there and you'll be able to spot them that you can also use in your blog writing. So before we go any further, if you have any questions, hop in right here and I'm going to take a sip of my water. I tend to talk fast, and I apologize. I had somebody from New York I was talking to the other day who said, you talk fast, but we New Yorkers listen fast, and so I was okay with that. But if I'm going too fast, you may have to flag me down real quick. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's how you write in two parallel paths, and I would encourage you to try that out in your blogging because it works very well. Another question that I received in advance of this came from Dave. He said he started out blogging, so am I going to describe first steps? And I am. Because to conquer writer's block, this technique also works for that as well as for the beginning blogger. I am a believer in creating an editorial calendar as a first step. I mean, it's like creating a roadmap for yourself of topics that you wish to blog about. You jot down the topics as they come to mind. Don't worry about anything initially. Just jot down the topics that come to mind that you know you want to blog about. The stuff that interests you, fascinates you, the stuff you know really well. Don't worry if the title, you may not use it exactly the way you're jotting down. I'm talking about a quick list. After you put that down on paper, kind of rearrange it to see if you can put it in some sort of logical order that just pretend that you've got readers who visit you every week for a minute. Pretend that you want them to see things moving in somewhat of a logical order. Now, blogs aren't always read that way. I'm saying this is really more for you than for anything else because it helps you organize your thoughts and get on a train of thought and it helps you cover topics with diligence, due diligence, that you've covered it well, you've broken it down well. But just pretend you've got readers coming back, and then in what order would you like them to read these topics? You put them in the order that you wish, and take a look at a calendar, and if you want to blog twice a week, you might pick Tuesdays and Thursdays or Wednesdays and Fridays, whatever you want to do, or once a week. And you place the topic on a literal calendar so that you're starting to map your way through the next month or two or three, however much floats your boat. I typically do about a month in advance. I know some who do 3 and 4 months in advance. Knowing it's not in concrete, things can change. There may be a news story that's relevant and you want to write about that and knock your whole calendar off. That's fine. This is really just to help you map out a plan to get you going in a direction, knowing that you can change it later if you want. So after you've gotten those topics on paper, then I would suggest doing a little bit of keyword research so that you can tailor your topics to meet existing readers' needs by using the right words. Now, because keywords are so important in blogging, I want to dig into this a little bit now. And if you have, I'm wondering if there's anybody on this call who was in last month's keyword class that I taught. Was anybody there?
Yes.
Okay, one. Anybody else?
No.
Just one. Okay. That is a really important bunch of information that I hope that the person who said they were in there would agree with me. And you don't have to say it out loud if you don't, but I hope that you got a lot out of it. It was me.
Totally, totally agree.
Oh, good, 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 good. And Amy, that class is available, right, for the callers to go back and visit?
Should be.
Okay. Okay, good. And I would encourage you to do that. It's got a lot of meat, and there's another way for you to get this information. I have an ebook on my website that you can purchase and download if you want this in writing so that you can reference it over and over, and you just might want to. If you visit pinkpigeonmedia.com, in the sidebar, on the right sidebar, my ebook is listed there, and it's titled How to Find a Gold Mine of Blog Topics. This ebook is all about keywords and keyword research. And just reading it one time through, you'll be a master at finding new blog topics. So you can purchase that at my website if you'd like. But this is an important thing, because once you've created these topics and you've jotted them down, you need to find out if you're using the right words that people online are searching for. And the class I taught in this ebook tells you how to do that in detail. But in a nutshell, what you want to do is pick your blog topic and you want to title it using keywords that people are already searching for. And to find that out, first you want to start with titling it the way that you want to, with a title that describes what you've written about. And then take that title that you've decided on and go to Google, and in the search bar, put your topic in there, put your title in there as you've written it, and see what comes up. Because from that search, you'll probably get 3 or 4 other relevant words as a drop-down menu right underneath it. And those are important because Google's giving you key information when it does that for you. What it's showing you is other relevant searches that are done that are as close to what you put in as possible that are actual, real searches being done by real readers using those exact words. And the reason that's so important is because why not write to people using the exact words that they're searching for, because then they're going to find you, right? And plus, you know they want to know this stuff. So you're not writing in the dark wondering if anybody wants to know what you're talking about. This is how you can find out if they do. And this may cause you to tweak your title, and that's okay, as long as your title still represents what you've written about. But this way you're using words you actually know people are using to search right then. It's very important to use your keywords in such a way that you get the most mileage out of them that you possibly can. So I would encourage you to go back and take that class or get my ebook so that you can understand what I'm talking about. Once you've read it and understand this, you can implement this every time you write a blog article and come up with a topic, it'll take you literally 30 seconds to do what I've just described, to come up with the right title that'll get you more traffic. So it's worth your time to read that through.
How do you take that class that you were saying?
Amy, could you describe how they can go back and visit that class?
Sorry about that. I had myself on mute. Yes, I will actually include a link back to that archived call in the follow-up email, but you can always go to the Institute for Life Coach Training website. So you'll go to lifecoachtraining.com, and then up at the top, click on Resources, and then from there you'll click on Calls About Coaching. Our calls are listed in reverse chronological order, so you'll see the new calls at the top, and then you can just scroll down until you see Tracy's call from February, and listen right there.
Will they also have access to the PDF that I included at the same
time? Yep, okay. You just have to click on, when you find the call, you'll click on the link that says More, and that will allow you to access the MP3 and also the PDF.
Wonderful. In that particular PDF, the reason I mention it is because I did an awful lot of screen captures of exactly what I was describing so that you could see right in front of you. Precisely what it is I was describing. So I think that in this case it would be very helpful to have that PDF as well. And those same types of screen captures are also in the ebook if you'd prefer to do it that way. So you have two options there. Now the other thing that I told you that the main question that I've been asked over and over and over again by bloggers is links. And so I've gotten us from one of the most asked questions now I'm all the way through keywords to the second question I'm asked most often, which is how the heck am I going to keep writing and writing and writing on the same topics over and over and over? How do I come up with ideas when I feel like I'm all tapped out? And for any writer, tapping out that well is a big deal. It happens to anybody who's constantly writing on a specific genre or set of topics, and that's what most of you would be doing because you have a specialty. You're an expert in a certain area, so you're going to write an awful lot about that one area, so you need constant new ideas. So when you feel like you've tapped everything out to death, one thing I need to remind you, and this is also in the keyword class because it's also tied together, is that when you're an expert in a field, you tend to forget the basics that fascinated you when you first started, right? I mean, when you first started in whatever your field was, you were fascinated by something, and it was very, very basic. But you know what? Readers online are usually there. They're usually looking for some of the basic stuff. They're beginning to learn stuff. Now, there are certainly people who are digging deeper and doing research into deeper things, and you're going to go there too. But I don't want you to forget about packing up that truck and going all the way back to the beginning and trying to look at your topics with fresh new eyes from a newbie's perspective, because you've got a wellspring of information in you that you are so familiar with that you've forgotten that it's at one time it fascinated you. And you could go back to those basics and break them down into small, small chunks and write about them fresh and new. And that kind of brings me to this topic of breaking things down. When you come up with a topic, sometimes it can almost be just so broad, and to you it seems like such a great idea, but it's really too broad to tackle. And the key here is to think of it in micro bits, tiny little bits. Just think about smashing it with a hammer and seeing all the little bits fly out and writing about each little bit that flies out when you smack it with a hammer. That's the kind of drill down that you have to do on your blog topics. So when you list out those ideas you want to write about for your editorial calendar to get you started, you're going to have to go back and revisit that and break those down in order to get as many blogs out of it, quality blogs out of it, that you possibly can. And I think of things like, I don't know, blended family. Way too huge to talk about that, right? You can't write a blog post about blended families. There's too much. There's too many nuances. There's too many issues. Well, that's actually good for you. What you have to do is drill way down, and this is, again, where doing this keyword research is so helpful. I just, now while we're sitting here, I threw in the word blended family doing a Google search, and the top thing that came out when I put in blended family and then the letter B, because I was just like curious what's going to come up, what came up was blended family baby shower. So I'm thinking, okay, you know what, how to throw a blended family baby shower. There are people who are dealing with this very thing, and that gets my brain thinking. I'm thinking how to plan a blended family vacation, how to handle blended family holiday disagreements or being torn between houses. I don't know. You guys are the experts in things like that, so you can see I'm just throwing things out. But this is how you drill down, is it goes back to this keyword research of finding out what people are looking for. Sometimes that will really surprise you. You'll have no idea that people are out there actually searching for blended family baby showers. Who knew? There's enough people out there searching for that that Google registered it when I typed that particular search in. This is what gets me so jazzed about keywords, because this uncovers ideas that you have never thought about blogging about before, and it can actually plow you right through writer's block. When you don't know what to do next, just start doing a keyword research using the alphabet. Blended family A, what comes up? Blended family B, what comes up? Next thing you know, you've got 20 different things that you already know people want to know about that gives you something to write about and put on your editorial calendar. Now, when I use an editorial calendar, and I do this every month for several of my clients, I do them a month in advance. And the reason I do it a month in advance is because for the clients that I presently serve, they are thinking about 4 blog topics per month, and that's really all they can squeeze out of their schedule at a time. I have one client who has no problem coming up with topics at all. I have another client who, for the life of him, he is so much an expert in his field. He's so far down the rung in knowledge that he has a hard time backing up the truck, so to speak, to get to the basics. So I will do this keyword research I've been talking about for him. I will pick, for instance, he's a holistic doctor, and the vaccinations has come up recently. You've heard the measles outbreak, and so it's been a big hot topic on the news. And frankly, because he's in the business, it's a good idea for him to blog about a hot topic like this, right? Because people are Googling it. We already know that. And he can bring something to the table. He's not just using a hot topic for the sake of traffic. He's using a hot topic and will benefit from traffic because he's an expert and he can speak to this. And so I suggested to him, why don't we talk about measles right now and vaccines and what your thoughts are on that. So we did some Googling and he came up with a great article about the 4 top important things that he believes you need to know about vaccines. Turned out to be a great article, and the answer is no, he didn't talk about vaccines as a whole. He broke it down into 4 most important things in his mind that you need to know about vaccines. So this technique works for just about no matter who you are and just about no matter what you're writing about, to go in and find out what people are actually looking for so that you can come up with a broken down version, getting oodles and oodles of blog posts, perhaps out of one topic. And the other thing that you have to keep in mind, if you're going to blog and continuously blog, you do need to keep your eye on the news so that if something relevant happens that actually fits with your genre, that you can write to that topic, because, yes, it will improve the visits to your page because it's hot and people are Googling it and you're likely to show up somewhere, but also because you can bring something to the table. And, again, we go back to quality. So long as what you're writing does, in fact, bring something to the table that people can use, this is going to be extraordinarily helpful, and always, if you can, include some type of action point, a call to action. You know, do this or try this or do this exercise or visit this website or download my ebook or call me for a free consultation. You know, whatever it is, include a call to action. Even if what your call to action is something like, how would you answer this question? And then post the question and invite responses in your comment section. And then post your blog all over your social media pages so that everybody in the world can see it to get more traffic. So as far as writer's block is concerned, we've talked some about that topic, but more really about length and getting new ideas and breaking those down. Of the callers on this call, is there anything about specific to writer's block that's bugging you that you're wondering if maybe me or someone else on this call has some interesting advice? Do you get stuck in some things? Or what's holding you back in blogging, if anything? And go ahead and lay it out there.
This is Mary. I think for me, blogging even once a week sometimes can be a challenge from the standpoint that I have a lot on my plate and I really love blogging.
Uh-huh.
So I think interesting the block is, well, I'm not blogging enough. So that begs the question, how often or how wise or whatever you would want to put in there, should I be in getting a blog out there? Once a week enough? Can I do it once every 2 weeks? Is that not enough?
First of all, did I understand correctly that you said you actually do like to blog? You like it?
I really do like to blog. And I love the comment that you gave tonight. And I do some of those. So that was encouraging to me. I do like to blog. It's a matter of really finding the time to write a quality blog because I have to do the research and the referencing, you know, and make sure it's edited. So I just want to be sure that I'm blogging enough.
Right. Well, look, the jury's out on how much is enough. Every single guru you talk to is going to tell you something different. I don't consider myself a guru at all. I've just been doing this for a number of years and I've learned a few tricks here and there. And of all the gurus that I read, and I read them often, nobody has an answer. And here's the thing about it. All of this social media stuff that we're doing is really uncharted waters. I mean, we're all in this together and it's all really still very new across the board. My best advice for this and what I have found works pretty well is one blog per week. Now, I respect very much what you said about taking the time to research. Depending on what it is you're writing, you could write a blog in an hour or you could write a blog in 6 hours. It just depends, you know, on how deep you have to go. So I would love to see, and this is what I encourage my clients to do, one a week, and worry not about length, worry about meat and quality. Some of the most successful bloggers out there don't even blog once a week, but when they do post a blog, my goodness, they knock it out of the park, and every reader comes away with something amazing, and they share it.
That's really encouraging to know, by the way.
Good.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Okay.
Excellent.
Okay.
And I love that
you
know that you're doing research and putting a lot of thought into it. I mean, that's what's going to give you the quality that's going to win people's trust, and you know that's the crux of the issue. So that's awesome to hear.
Great. Well, thank you. I'm so glad I'm on the call.
Yeah, good. I'm glad too. Anybody else about writer's block, or is there something that's, what's your roadblock? What's keeping you from doing it? Is it time? Is it topic? Is it fear? I have one question that was sent to me in advance. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was trying to get off mute. I think where I'm stuck right now is that I was trying to build my own website, my own blogging website. And I have another personal website, but I had someone make it at the time. And now that I'm trying to do it on my own, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I know why I hired someone to do it for me last time. But I was really trying to do it on my own. But I find that, you know, I have to go through all these tutorials to figure out where to place things, and then it's just so time consuming that by the time I'm done like playing around with the website, I'm like, okay, I don't want to write anymore. And now it's just, I'm trying to figure out how much my time is actually worth. Do I just go ahead and, you know, get someone to set up the website for me so I don't have to worry about that part and that I can just focus on, you know, blogging itself. So that's just my issue and why it takes, like, I just start to procrastinate, you know.
Right, yeah, because you've got that one hurdle you need to get over, and once you get over that, you could really probably soar through this blogging thing. So first of all, is your website already built or it's being built? I didn't quite get that.
Well, I've already put it up there, but, there's nothing really to it right now.
Right.
You know.
Is it built on the WordPress platform or
another
platform? Oh, it is. Okay.
WordPress,
Okay. So probably I would just suggest that probably the thing that you need is spending even just an hour with me. I can teach you very quickly how to set up a blog post and publish it, because the rest of the mechanics of your website isn't really what you've described to me is concerning you. It's really how to get a post put on there, correct?
Well, I mean, I think it's the web. It's almost like I want everything to be perfect on that website before I start blogging.
Right. Like, okay.
Like, I don't have, you know, the name for the blog yet, because, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you want it to be something catchy so someone clicks on it. So I feel like I have all these little things that I need to get finished first before I start blogging. But it's all it's taking so much time that, like, I just keep on pushing it away.
Right. Well, here's the thing, too, and this is, we all face this. It's a matter of prioritizing what's important to you to do. Ultimately, here's the thing, and this is, boy, I've been through this. What you've just said, I've heard this so many times, that I want it to be perfect before I launch it or get really going on it. And the thing I keep coming back to is you got to throw that out. Just throw that thought out.
I know.
Yeah, because it'll never be perfect. And you know what? Everybody's website is a work in progress. I just don't know that anybody's ever 100% satisfied with it. There's always something that you want to do. Now, there's certainly a few things that I'd say need to be done before you launch into it. You don't want people to get to a page that says, sorry, we're not done yet, coming soon. I mean, that's a drag. Nobody likes that. So you want your pages to have content on them and that sort of thing. But if you're waiting for it to be the perfect look and feel, well, you're going to just wait forever until the earth falls out of the sky and then, you know, it'll be too late to start blogging. So my suggestion to you, just to jumpstart yourself and get yourself going, is to go ahead and set up a time with either the person who set up your website or me or someone like me to just spend an hour going through a tick list of things that you want done, prioritize those things to decide which are necessary for me to start blogging and which are not. And I'm telling you, when it comes to setting up a blog post on WordPress and publishing it, seriously easy stuff that can be shown to you in 30 minutes or less. Honestly, can be. There's just a few little components that you would want to know that can be shown to you, and then you can go. But I encourage you to make a tick list of what you want done, prioritize that, and then contact me or your web builder and set aside an hour to go through them. Because once you do that, you can start flying on your blog and start getting people to read and trust you and look to you as the expert in your area. Don't let this hold you up from sharing your gift with the world. You've got something to give. You know, don't let a little old website stand in the way of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm preaching to the choir. I know you know all of that. It's just a matter of sometimes hearing somebody say, hooray, you can do this. It's not as hard as you think. And what WordPress really, there's a lot to know, but if somebody will just sit with you elbow to elbow just for an hour, you're good. You'll be golden to start publishing blog posts.
Yeah.
So
I've been going on to, like, lynda.com, and they have all those tutorials on how to work like WordPress. It's just taking the time to actually sit down and go through all of them too. But.
You know, and I get that. So, and I empathize with that because I am my style of learning is I do best when somebody holds my hand and pats my hand and says, "Here, this is how you do it," and they only have to show me once. But I learn best that way. So if the way that you learn best and more quickly is to go to tutorials like that, then, yeah, I would just say set aside an hour each day for the next whatever it takes and make it happen. But if having your web person who built it for you would do it, I would encourage you to go ahead and just set aside that time and that money and do it, because really the stuff that you need to know is probably really fast. You just don't know exactly what you need to know yet, and you might need your web builder to show you that. And then you'd be flying.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Awesome. Another person wrote, how does creating an outline help with writer's block? And is there an outline available as a tool online? And I've not seen a tool online that I could direct you to, so that part I'm not helpful with. But I have found creating outlines for a blog post to not be as helpful for me. Now, this is very subjective. It doesn't help me because I'm a fast writer. This is what helps me. I sit down with the idea I want to write about, and then I sit at the keyboard and I write, and I don't let myself stop. I just write and write and barf it out on the page. I call it barfing it out on the page. Because once I've got my thoughts down, then I can go back through, starting at the top, weed out the stuff that doesn't make the cut, polish up the pieces that were good, get excited over whatever flashes of brilliance may have landed on the page. But for me, to just start writing and don't let my fingers stop is the best way. Some people have found that when they use an outline, it helps them because, again, it's like an editorial calendar. It's like a roadmap. So my suggestion would be to try it on two or three blogs and see if that's a method that works for you. And I would also encourage you to try the method that works for me and any other method you've ever heard about. And once you find something that works for you, then, again, you'll be like a whiz kid. Once you find it, you're a whiz kid. I can pop out a blog so fast because I don't let anything stand in the way of the movement of my fingers. Even if I don't have a thought in my head, I will start moving my fingers anyway. It's a wonderful creative exercise, too, by the way. If I come from a writing background. I was a magazine editor for some time and have been a professional writer for almost 20 years with numerous things published in places I've now even forgotten. And I say that to say this, I spent an awful lot of years agonizing over getting that first sentence on the page. I would sit and stare at a blank page for an hour because I was terrified of the first sentence. What do I say? How do I start? Where's the beginning point? Where's the ending point? If I wait to sort that out, I'll never get it written. But if I'll go ahead and write the title I think I might want and then write the first sentence I think I might want, I'll be two-thirds of the way done and then realize, that's not what I want, but here's the one I do want. I just wrote it. And I'll just switch and rearrange. It's like throwing the bones down and then getting the meat packed on. If you just don't let anything stand in your way and you start writing, just do it. I am a big fan of Julia Cameron. She's written The Artist's Way. It's it's a book for creatives. It's a series of books, actually, for creatives. It's not just for writers. It's not just for painters or for sculptors. It's for any kind of creativity. When it comes to writing, she says exactly that. She says, get that paper out, get that pen out or the keyboard, and just write. Don't give yourself permission for it to be stupid and nonsense. If you're stuck, this is excellent if you're stuck, just put your fingers to the keyboard. There was one day when I was very frustrated. I had a topic I wanted to write, and I couldn't come up with anything. I knew what I wanted, but I couldn't make it move. You may relate to this. It was in my head, but for some reason, getting it onto the paper, I couldn't get that first sentence, and I was letting that stop me. So I wrote an entire page that said nothing but, I'm craving macaroni and cheese.
I'm craving macaroni and cheese. I'm craving macaroni and cheese. And I typed that over and over and over again, and it sounds silly, but by the time I got to the end of the page, I was laughing at myself to the point that I didn't care anymore that I was stuck on the first sentence, and the next thing I knew, I had the first sentence and the second and the third because I broke through. It's like turning on a water faucet and getting the rust out. If you have to sit at the keyboard and write nonsense to get through to the good stuff, I encourage you to do that. And if an outline helps you do that, then go for it. There's no right or wrong, and even a template online is something that you'll probably blow out of the water anyway. Do it the best way that works for you and toss out the rule. And that kind of brings me to how I want to sort of end this, wind this up. When it comes to rules, I don't know anything about the demographic of who's sitting on this call, but I know about me. And I am an old school English class literature type chick. I'm grammar girl. I like it to be right, and I like to follow the rules. And coloring outside the lines when it comes to grammar and writing is uncomfortable for me. I'm very touchy about butchering the King's English, whether it's in writing or in speech. I just like it to be right. And this has been a hindrance to me. And I'm getting past it. I'm getting past it more and more, and social media is helping because you've probably noticed this, but in texting, in blog posts, on websites, on Facebook, on Twitter, you name it online, it is a mess of grammatical errors, right? It's a mess. People are messing up right and left. Now, it's a pet peeve of mine. My hair could catch fire with some of the things that I read that people have actually put out there with their name next to it. So I'm not suggesting that you throw the grammar rules out, not by a long shot. But what I am suggesting is to give yourself a little bit of a break and lighten up a little bit like I'm trying to do so that you can get in there and start blogging and give yourself permission to not be perfect. Give your website permission to not be perfect. Give your topics permission to not be perfect. You're going to post blog posts on occasion that have a grammatical error in it, and you're going to go back and fix it. You're going to post something that's going to maybe later when you read it, you're going to think, wow, I really wrote that badly. And that's okay. The rules are a little bit different these days in that people can get away with an awful lot of errors that we weren't able to get away with before we launched into the social media new age thing. The rules are not going out the window, but people are posting things that break those rules. And while I don't encourage you to do that, I do encourage you to lighten up, relax a little bit, go ahead and let the words flow however they land on the page, and just tidy it up later and give yourself permission to be who you are on the page, warts and all. Because sometimes your warts actually open the door for your readers to connect with you. And that's a big deal. It's a big deal with blogging that your readers connect with you. So forget perfection. Do the best you can and write from your heart and write from your expertise and do your research so that you are the expert and you bring something to the table. Quality, quality, quality is the key. So I don't know how well we covered writer's block here. We covered a lot of good stuff. I'm going to open it up just in our last 9 minutes here before the 8 o'clock witching hour here on the East Coast, which coast am I on? For any other questions that might be out there, I'm here till you're here. So, you know, clock turns 8, and I don't have glass slippers, so I'm here till you're here. So, if you have any questions, let's go ahead and open it up for anything that might be hanging out there on your mind.
Tracy, I have a question. Do you also help people figure out what they are experts at?
Yes.
Good, thanks.
Yes, and we do that really through.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I can think of like 25 different things I could write blogs on, but I know that the focus, you know, there should be a focus and there should be a consistent theme, you know, like a blended families or whatever, but I'm having a hard time coming, kind of like narrowing it down. And just wondered if you help with that.
Yes, I do. And it's really through a series of questions and some dialogue, because sometimes it's just a matter of having someone who doesn't know anything about you or what you do ask you questions about that you gain clarification. And it's really better the less a person knows about you, actually. So if we were to talk, I would want to get just the very, very basics of what you do, and then I'll start asking you questions about that as if we're sitting over a cup of coffee, you know, and I'm trying to understand what you do. It becomes more clear to you as you talk with someone who really has no idea. And that seems to work to help people figure out. But she brought you know, what you said made me think of something else, and I do want to point this out in blogging. You may not realize that you actually said this, but when you have a specific genre and you created a website around that, it is really important for you to blog staying within the parameters of that. And sometimes I like to use really extreme examples to illustrate this point. If you are a shoe salesman and you're an expert on shoes, you're not going to write a blog post about blended families, right? That's just not going to make any sense unless there's something about your shoes that has something to do with blended families. You're not going to go to such great extremes on your blog page. And the reason for that is not really so much your human readers as it is the search engine spiders that are indexing your site. They need to know when to tell searchers to go to your site. So it's really important that you stay on topic. Now, you can make that circle around your topic really wide so long as it ties back some way, but you don't want to stray so far off that when a search engine spider comes to your site and sees this blog about shoes and you're really an expert on blended families, that it just tosses your site aside and doesn't give a result to some online searcher looking for you. Now, this is not an issue if you just do it once in a blue moon. This is an issue if every other blog post you're blogging about your new grandchild. And that has nothing to do with your genre. And so something that you mentioned in your question wanted me to remind you that it is important to stay within the parameters of your expertise on your website. Now, if you want to start a blog where you're talking about your granddaughter and you're talking about your kids and you're talking about shoes and you're talking about every other thing, that's great. You can have a blog all over the place. But for your professional coaching blog, I would encourage you to not stray off topic too far. You can tell personal stories, and I encourage you to do that. People love personal stories, but all within the topic that stays within your genre so that it's germane to your website so your search engine spiders can index you and get you found. That's a real side rabbit trail.